I don't know if you've been exposed to it, but our new transitional deacon has a little bit of wit. Does everybody here know what a meme is? He created a meme with my dog. He took a picture of my innocent little dog and he put scripture around it. What was the scripture? A thorn in my flesh has been given me, an angel of Satan to beat me. I told him he's going to make a wonderful permanent deacon. Nothing against permanent deacons. Now, you think about it though, one of the glorious things about St. Paul, and I think one of the little hidden gems in that second reading today, is he doesn't tell us what that thorn in his flesh is. All he tells us is that three times he begged God to take it away, and God didn't, lest he become too elated by the revelations that he'd been exposed to. Now, I like to believe that the reason he didn't get into the detail, there's been plenty of speculation. Maybe it was a physical disability. Maybe it was some illness that he experienced. Maybe he struggled with self-doubt. Who knows what it was? He doesn't tell us, but I believe he does that for a reason. For us today, can we fill in the blanks in our own lives of those little thorns in our flesh that we contend with? And here's the thing is, St. Paul doesn't use it as an excuse. Look at all the good that he did. Look at the missionary journeys that he engaged in. Look at the number of people that he brought into a relationship with Jesus Christ. In spite of that thorn in his flesh, or who knows, maybe even because of it. Maybe he struggled with humility, and he wanted to be emptied of that. Maybe it was a particular sin. Who knows? But I challenge you for a minute to think, what is that thorn in your flesh with which you struggle? That thing that you look at in your life and you say, because of this, I'll never be able to do that. You see, we often look at these things that we have in our lives and we can say, well, I'm old. I'm young. I'm not there yet. I don't have this. I lack that. I've got too much going on. All of those things can be those little thorns in our flesh. And you know, I really believe it's the evil one who speaks into our ear and says, you can't do this. You've got this. You don't have that. We can buy into the lie so quickly. You know, it occurred to me as I was going through the readings, you know, the scripture readings come up every 3 years. We're in cycle B now, the year of the Gospel of Mark. You know the first time that that scripture came up here when we talked about, you know, the stiff-necked people, no faith there, you couldn't do any good deeds except for a few healings. I don't know about you, a few healings of the sick, I'd have called that a pretty good day. But all the lack of faith, you know the first time I had that gospel to preach on in this parish? My very first weekend here 9 years ago. And I was like, Lord, where are you sending me? I mean, it's like stiff-necked, they're not going to listen, a prophet's not accepted. The first time I preached on those readings was my first weekend as a newly ordained priest in my first assignment as an associate pastor. I wonder if clergy personnel, when they make assignments, put it that weekend just to scare us in our first assignment. I don't know. But you know, the thing is, we're going to struggle anytime we go into something new, anytime we embark on something different. That thorn in our flesh is going to come up and say, you can't do this. I remember my first weekend here, I was like, this parish is so big, will I ever survive? And then everybody else was telling me, well, you're not going to be here long, the last two pastors didn't make it 3 years. Well, one was made a bishop, one was made a vicar general. Now, if it's not obvious to you, I've been here 9 years now, I am going nowhere really fast. God puts us where we're supposed to be, when we're supposed to be there, for the purpose that he puts us there. Mark's gospel says Jesus wasn't able to do any miracles there because of their lack of faith, except curing a few sick. Do you think that was insignificant for those few sick? Was that insignificant? No. Not if you were the person who walked for the first time. Not if you were the person who were cured of a hemorrhage. Not if you were the person who had heard your sins are forgiven. Maybe the big crowd was rejecting, walking away, saying, this guy's nuts. We know him. We know his family. He's the son of the carpenter. Could anything good come from this? But it meant something to the few that did. My brothers and sisters, today I tell you, God has a plan for you, for me, for us as a community and as individuals. Yesterday afternoon, I took Tucker for a little walk. It was a beautiful day. You know, this time of year, noontime is not the time you take a dog for a walk, but it was nice. So we walked down Cypress Creek to the pier. And there were two women there, maybe a little bit older than me. And they had the canoe. They were trying to get it into the water. And they'd found someone was taking their picture. It was like this was a big event for them. And I asked him, I said, do you want me to take the picture so you can, the three of you can be in the picture together? And the woman taking the picture says, no, I don't need to be in the picture. I've never met them before. It's like, okay. So we made a few new friends that day. There were two dogs there. Tucker made a few new friends too. Well, they're getting into the water. I said, can I give you a hand with this? And they're like, no, we've got it. And it was fine. And I asked them, I said, so do you come out here canoeing often? They said, we've never done this before. And I saw how they were struggling a little bit, and I was like, yeah, I've never done it before either. I don't think I'm going to, but... But you know what? They had something brought them. And, you know, I was walking back and I was praying with this because, you know, I really believe if we let God in, we can get some insights. They'd never done that before. What brought them to the point where they said, we're going to get in that water, get in that boat or that canoe and go out and explore a little bit? I'll tell you what they had to get rid of. They had to get rid of their reservations and their fears, which can be thorns in our flesh, can't they? When you go out and embark on something new, when you get to the point where you say, I want to really take serious my relationship with God. I want to know not just about Jesus. I want to know Jesus. And I hear people say sometimes, I just don't know how to pray. I don't know what to say. Well, my initial reaction is, shut up. You don't have to talk. Let God speak. Start with the scriptures. And then start looking at your circumstances and process them. What's God trying to tell you? Now, I don't think God was telling me to take up canoeing. I do think God was telling me, don't be afraid to risk. You've got to risk for the kingdom. Jesus went to an area where he wasn't accepted. He risked because he was risking for the kingdom. He was bringing salvation. Not everybody was going to accept it, embrace it, but he did it anyway. And the pragmatist among us might look and say, and look what it got him. He was crucified. Yeah, but look what it got us. He rose again from the dead. You have to step out, take the risk, go into the deep, so to speak, and cast your net where you've never cast it before. You know, this whole 5-11 thing that we've been doing, calling people, raising people up to engage, it's not looking for slave labor. I really want to assure you of that. It's about creating, transforming a culture in our parish where I know that we can be the people God's called us to be, but we have to take a risk. to take a risk to welcome the person, the stranger that we've never met before, to take a risk that God can work through us despite our faults, our failings, our feelings of insecurity. God can do it because it's not our work. Saint José María Escrivá named his movement Opus Dei, the work of God. And he said that any work that we can do, no matter how menial, no matter how insignificant it might seem, if we make it God's work, it's divine. It's divine. Even if it's washing dishes, mopping floors, serving a meal, holding a door, if it's God's work, it's divine. But we have to get that change of mindset that when we see the people around us, we don't just see people who are around us. We see God waiting to be encountered. God can speak in such mundane circumstances. I just want to share a little story about my past, and it really is important because it tells you how I got here today. I was a senior in high school. I'd always heard things about the Catholic Church. Remember, many of you know I was raised Baptist. At that point in my life, I wasn't really going to church. I was involved in other things. I kind of slipped away. You know, not that I was against church or anything like that, but it just was not important to me. So I was a senior in high school. One weekend, I spent the night at a friend's house. Catholic. I had a lot of Catholic friends whom I prayed for a lot because, as we all knew, Catholics were going to hell. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Catholic, burn. But I had some really close friends that way. So I went to Mass with them one time, and I didn't know what to expect. I expected there was going to be like a lot of chanting and worshiping of idols and maybe a head of lettuce. I didn't know. I really didn't know. But when I went in, it's what I didn't see. Number one, I said, wow, that guy didn't preach for 50 minutes. I know what you're thinking. Be quiet. If I have to, I'll hear confessions right after Mass. But anyway, I'm not going to get into all the details, but I wrote a letter to the pastor of the parish, the priest, and I just said, do you have any information, anything I can read? Because I'd, you know, most of what I'd seen had just been things that was very anti-Catholic. So he calls me up and invited me to what they called at the time inquiry. We call it RCIA today, but back then it was inquiry. Classes on Wednesday nights so I could learn. No pressure. He said, you can just come and learn. And I did. I was 17 years old, and practically every week, went on Wednesday night. One night I didn't have a ride, and I was like in a panic. And I got somebody to take me there because my mom had the car, okay? I made it. Because every time I was doing this, and I was checking a lot of the stuff he said back with my Bible, and it became so clear to me there was a lot of biblical stuff in this Catholic church, and they were a lot older than any church I'd ever been in. So all that's happening, I made the decision, much to the chagrin of my family, that I was going to be received into the church. Well, as that was happening, I swear to you, on my dog, that it was not long after I said I was going to become Catholic that a neighbor who lived down the street, by the way, who was Methodist, had been to dinner with someone, and he says, yeah, we met this guy, and we'd like you to meet him. I said, well, why? He says, well, we had dinner with him. We said, well, what do you do? He says, I give away money. And we thought he could help you, because he knew that, you know, I was being raised, single-parent household, weren't real well. I mean, I was ready to go to a state school for college, you know, whatever I had to do it, I was ready to do it. And he says, but, you know, the place that they do this, it's a Catholic college. I'm like, well, I'm on my road to becoming Catholic. Tell me more. So I went in for the interview. I remember this. This is really weird. My freshman year in high school, back when they had typing, I had signed up for typing. The computer put me in a course called horse management. Picture me managing horses. I went through the course, I didn't know I could have changed. But anyway, that's key here, because I went into interview with this foundation to get this scholarship, to go to this college that I'd never heard of. He looks at my high school transcript and says, "Oh, you took horse management." The guy owned racehorses. And we're talking for like a half an hour about horses. I just pretended to know what he was talking about because I didn't really take a lot of notes. But we clicked. He says, "Go look at the place." It was Franciscan University in Steubenville. I'd never heard of the place. Went up, I said, "Wow, this is a really friendly place." And they were offering me essentially a full ride for my college. I came back, I said, "I'll do it." It was up there I met Franciscans, and a couple of years into it, I started discerning a vocation to the priesthood. It happened that fast. God lets things happen in our lives for a reason. I mean, I was all set. I was going to go to UMBC or College Park or one of those things. I had my college career planned out for me. And I'll tell you, about 75% of it would have involved the weekend in my mind. I was going to major in business. And yet God told me I was going to be a different type of prophet eventually. One that wasn't always going to be accepted, and that's okay. That's the risk that we take, because in some way we are all prophets. When you were baptized, you heard that priest, even though you were a baby, you might not have understood it. He says, as Christ was anointed priest, prophet, and king, so are you. So dear friends, don't be afraid. Don't let that thorn in your flesh be that thing that the angel of Satan beats you with. You're better than you think you are, and God can do more through you than you ever think you can. Because it's God doing it. If we just step back, let God work. You know, we keep saying, "Are you going to be one of those 5'11"? I hope you will. And it doesn't have to be anything magnanimous. Like Mother Teresa said, little acts of kindness done with love. And what an impact they can make. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.